Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek on the lower part of Daf Pei Gimel. We begin, Emir Hashem, the 7th perek of Bava Metzia, Sichas HaPoyalim. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, in the margin we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Chovos, obligations, Ma'avid, the Oved, the obligations of an employer and employee, Nikboim, are established, Lefi Mineg HaMedina, according to the local practices. Bizman, Shelo, Hisnu, Benehem, Acheres, provided there was no specific stipulation, preconditions that they established between themselves. This point, this qualification, you can see in the Tosfos. The Tosfos on this page is found on the upper part of the page. Hasocheres hapoyalim, v'omar lahem lahashdim lahariv. The Mishnah describes an employer that expected the workers to come before sunrise and stay after sunset. Pirush ri bishe sochron stamo vi omar lohem achar shiskiron kvar lahashkim lahariv. The Mishnah that makes mention of the desire on the part of the employer for the workers to come earlier than sunrise and stay later than sunset is an agreement that he articulated after he already hired them. Avolim histami kora hakolafitano. However, if he stipulated this at the outset before he hired them, then the whatever terms they agreed upon will be binding. So now our Mishnah. Hasichas ha'poilim v'omer lahem lahashkim lahariv. Man hired workers and said to them, come before sunrise, stay till after sunset. Mokim shenohagu shelo lahashkim shelo lahariv eino rashoi lachufan. In places where the practice was not to arrive before sunrise, nor stay after sundown, so he, the employer, cannot force them to do so. And as we saw in the Tosfos, this Mishnah opening is describing a case where it was not established before he hired them that they would accommodate him according to those hours. Mokoim shenohagu lozun yozun, in a place that the practice was for the employer to feed the workers, so he has to do so. Lesapek b'mesika yesapek, to provide them with mesika. Mesika literally means sweets. So we'll say it's a certain aspect of the food provision, so he must do so. Hakol kemenek hamedina. Everything follows the common local practice. Maisa Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, she'omar livno, an incident involving Yochanan ben Masya, who said to his son, say scholonu poyalim, go out and hire for us workers. Holach uposak lohem mizonos. He went and told them that we will provide you, the workers, with meals. Ukshaboy tzoloviv, and when he came to his father, omar lo, the father said, Beni, my son, afilu ata imata oiselahem kesida shloimoi b'shaitai, even if you provide for them meals like King Solomon at his heights, lo yotzi yedei chayvas chayimohem, you haven't fulfilled your theoretical obligation toward them. In other words, as great as those meals may have been, you would have to give them even more. Shehein b'nei Avram Yisof Yaakov. They are, these workers are Jewish workers, the descendants of our patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Elo, however, ad shelo yaschivu b'mlocha, before they start the actual work, say v'mor lehem, go tell them, rectify the situation, and tell them, al menas she'ein lochem olai elo pas v'kitnes bilvad, that you're going to be working with the understanding that you are not going to get from me, the employer, any more than bread and kitnes, legumes, so that the son may have led them or given them the impression that they were going to be provided with sumptuous meals. The father says, that is not what I had intended. So straighten out the matter before they start working. So you see from this incident that there was no local practice of providing meals, and that the son, by suggesting that to them, was going beyond what the father had intended. Alternatively, even if you say there was a practice, but the father, as a precondition, stipulated that in our case, we will not be providing sumptuous meals, but rather the bare minimum of bread and kitnis. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Loimer, Lo Hoyot Sorach Lomar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says there was no need for saying anything. Hakol Kamine Kamandina. The practice is established by local custom. The Gemara, in reacting to the opening of the Mishnah, says, Pshita, it is obvious, meaning if the local practice was not to come so early or not to stay so late, the employer can't force them. Do you need the Mishnah to tell you the obvious? Lo, Sricha, no, I need the Mishnah. The Tofa Lahu Agrayu. The employer was paying them a little more than the going rate. Mahu detemo. Without the Mishnah, I might have thought, Omar lehu, the owner, could have said, Ha detafoi lehu agraihu, that which I am adding to your wages, adaita demakadmisu umichashisu bahadoi, with the intent that mekadmisu, that you will come earlier than other workers, Mach shechisu. Do you see in that word the root ches shin chof choshech, that you would choshech meaning darkness, nighttime, that you would stay later than others? Komash malon. The Mishnah informs us that even with that additional wage element, the Omru Le, they can respond, Ha the Tafis Lon, that which you are adding to our wages more than the going rate, Adaita de Avdina Loch Avidita Shapirta. That was with the intent that we will do an extra quality work, higher quality work than is the general norm, general practice. But as far as hours are concerned, if the hours the employer was saying is not the general practice, so even with added wages, the employer cannot force them to stay. Once again, just we want to repeat what the Tosfos pointed out. This is all assuming that the agreement, that at the point that the work agreement was established, no mention of extra hours was made. That was thrown in only later on. However, if those extra hours, the extra time pre-sunrise or staying after sundown was stipulated initially, then they would be bound to to whatever they agreed upon. Omar Reish Lakish. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Poel Beknisoso Micheloi Bitsioso Michel Bal Habayas. The worker Beknisoso Mishalo. Rashi at the top says, "Beknisaso leir." Let's assume that the workers were hired to work outside the city. So Beknisaso means entrance to the city would be a reference to at the end of his day's work, that he's going from the fields outside the city into town. Mishalo. Rashi, top line, Tzorich levater mishalo etzel balabayis ulahachshich etzlo. He is expected to stay later by the employer. Stay later, ulahachshich etzlo, would imply even beyond sundown. However, b'yitzioso, as far as going to work in the morning, mishel balabayis. He doesn't have to start his journey to work before sunrise. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Tizrach Hashemesh," adding it's a reference to sunrise. Ye'asafun ve'el me'inosam yirbotzum yetze adam lefaloi ulavadosai adei orev. In this pasuk, you see reference to Tizrach Hashemesh, and then that's Pasuk Chof Beis, and Pasuk Chof Gimel stated Yetze Adam Lefalo. A person then goes to work, so that with Zrichas Hashemesh, Yetze Adam Lefalo. And then the end of the Pasuk says Ulavadosei Ade Orev, and he stays at the work until darkness. And my understanding was that till darkness would be a period of time even after sundown. Immediately after sundown, it's not necessary, you wouldn't necessarily describe the sky as dark. So he stays at the work until it gets dark. The Gemara asks, V'lechsi hechi nehigi. What is Reish Lakish trying to tell us? Why don't we just look at what the common practice is? We said Hakol Kaminig Hamadina. So what is Reish Lakish? What scenario is Reish Lakish describing that he has to tell us Beknisaso Mishalo, Beknisaso Mishel Balabayas? The Gemara answers Beir Chadasha, in a new town. So there is no pre-established custom. So then you would go based on what Reish Lakish says, that workers would not start out to work before sunrise, and they would be expected to stay at the work site even after sunset. Question, V'nechsi mehechakosi, even if you say this is a new town, can't we establish what the practice should be based on where the workers come from? Answer, B'nekutoi. These are people, the scenario that Reish Lakish was describing is a new community where people come from many different locations. Iboy Esemot, another approach to understanding what Reish Lakish is dealing with. Di Omar Lahu, Di Agrisu Li Kepoel Doiraisa, where the owner hired these workers and said, "You will work for me like the worker of the scriptures." And we saw above the pasuk Tizrach Hashemesh, and it said Yetzei Adam Lefalo and Lavadosei Ade Orev. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, and we indicate Drosha Al Hapasuk Toshes Choshech. V'chule etc. We made reference to Psukim in Tehillim just a few lines up, the Pasuk of Tizrach HaShemesh, which was in Tehillim chapter Kuf Dalad, chapter 104, verses Chof Beis to Chof Gimel. Here we have Tehillim Kuf Dalad starting with Pasuk Chof. So in the next few lines, you'll notice we have some underlined sections. These underlined sections are quotes from the psukim. Some of these psukim, these may be familiar to those who are familiar with the davening that we pray from the Siddur. The Gemara begins. Dorash Rebbe Zeira V'Amri Lo Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Zeiro teaches, another version has Rav Yosef presenting this as a tradition. Mai dichtiv, Tashes Choshech Viloila Bo Tirmois Kulchaisa Yoar. That's the introductory presentation of the Pasuk, and now we break it down. Toshes Choshech Viloila Ze Ha'ilam Hazeh Shedem Lalaila. The Pasuk is describing this world, the world, the physical world, which is similar to night. This is in contrast to the world to come, where the divine glory is more pronounced, and the glory associated with light and day. This world, where the divine hand may appear to be hidden at times, and in that sense we refer to it as doima lalaya, like the night, darkness. Bo tirmois kol chaisiyar. Regarding this world, oilam hazeh, which is like night, the pasuk describes all the animals of the forests are creeping and crawling around. Elu rishoyim shebo. This is the kol chaisiyar. All the wild animals of the forests are a reference to the wicked. Elu Rishoyim Shebo. Rashi says, Shemanichim Lahem Yecholus Ach Berisham Ve'ein Nifroim Mehem. In this world, the wicked, as they say, you'll find them living it up, and no one bothers them. No one stops them from continuing in their wicked ways. So the pasuk in saying Bo Tirmos Kechay Sayar is a reference to the wicked, shedoimin lechaya shebiar, that are like the wild animals in the forests. Tizrach Hashemesh yasafun vel noinosam yirbotzun. And now we break down this section of the pasuk. Tizrach Hashemesh, the sun will shine forth letzadikim. In other words, after the night, there follows the day, when the sun shines forth to benefit the righteous. Yes, Safun means they will be gathered in. That's a reference to the Rishoyim will be gathered in Legehenim, to purgatory. Vel Manosam Yerbotsun, Ein Lucha Kol Tzadik Betzadik She'ein Lo Modur Lefi Kvoidai. There is every righteous individual has a dwelling in the Olam Haba, in the world to come, and his, we'll call it custom-made personal dwelling in accordance with the honor due to him. Yetze Adam Lefaloi, Yetzu Tzadikim Lekabel Schoran. When the Tizrach HaShemesh that we refer to, when the sun shines forth, a reference to the world to come, in Olam Haba, the Pasuk describes each Tzadik will go forward and collect his reward. Ulavotoso ade orev, the mishihishlim avodoso ade orev. A reference to the tzaddikim that remained righteous until their day of death. So those are the ones that the pasuk is describing that will merit collecting their reward in the world to come. On the side, in our margin, we have a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading, and we indicate that it lasts till Daf Pei Heyomet Aleph. Reb Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. And you notice we're right now at Pei Gimel Amud Bey, so that there's a large amount of Gemara dedicated to this great figure, Reb Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. He happened to be the son of Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. An extensive agadic section. Under that, we indicated the immediate topic heading, Minuyo Shel Reb Elazar ben Shimon, the appointment of Reb Elazar ben Shimon, Ketoifes Ganovim. We'll see that the government appointed him to be a thief catcher. Vehezber Echu Yochol Lezahis Mi Hu Haganov. And an explanation of how he was able to identify who was a thief. the Gemara. And of course you can see the firebox marking indicating a major, in this case a major name, that will preoccupy us for a long time. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Ashgach Lehu Faraguna de Katofis Ganvi. Rebbe Elazar met up with a Farhaguna. That's an appointed individual, a government official, that was catching Tofis Ganvi. He was, we'll call him an inspector, that caught thieves. Rashi says, Boydek Acharem B'Toyson. I use the word inspector because of Rashi's reference to Bodek, means to search, to check out, inspect, and eventually Toyson and catch them. Omar Lay, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon asks this inspector, Hechi Yachlis Lehu, how are you able to understand them? Lav kichayusam mesili? Are they not like animals that hide by day in their hiding places? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Bo tirmois kol chaysa yoar. The pasuk describes them as chaysa yoar. That we saw a reference to this before. They're like animals. So how do you, as a government official, how do you pursue them when they're hiding and stealthful? Iko diamri mehaikro komalei. Others say, another version is that Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon cited another pasuk from Tehillim, Perek Yud, Yarav b'mister k'aryeh b'sucho. Again, an aryeh is a lion, a description of the wicked as being like animals. Dilma, he goes on saying, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, he says, Dilma shaklis tzadiki v'shakis rishi. Maybe you are catching people that are actually righteous and leaving aside and allowing to escape those that are actually wicked. Omar le umayavid. So the official says to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, so what should I do? Harmano de Malkahu, I am charged by the king to pursue thieves. What else should I do? Omar Lay, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon responds. We have a long marking, what his counsel is. Ta agmaroch echitavit. Come, I will teach you what you should do. Oil ba'ar b'shoy l'chanusa. Enter at the fourth hour of the day. Ar b'shoy. Rashi points out that's the general meal time, the morning meal time. When people go into restaurants, and Rashi says, "Bar b'shoy shi shas suda v'akol nichnosim bechanuyos v'soadin." Everyone goes into chanuyos. It's interesting to note that the word chanuyos in other Gemaras is a reference to a bar or a drinking parlor, and I think that we should include that explanation when I say here a restaurant. Because Rashi says, so are them, they go eat there. But in addition to that, let's say intoxicating beverages were also served there. So go into these called restaurants at the fourth hour of the day. The fourth hour of the day is, we'll say, if you break the day up into day of 12 hours and night of 12 hours, so from 6 to 7 is the first hour, 7 to 8, the second hour, 8 to 9, the third hour, 9 to 10, the fourth hour. So between 9 and 10 in the morning is the hour I'm suggesting go into restaurants. Ki chazes inish deka shasi chamra, deka nakid kasa v'yodeh v'kom enam neim shol iluya. And here is a reference to what we said before, that that we're referring to bars where they also serve meals. So you go into a bar, and let's translate what we read. Ki chazes inish, when you see a man dekashosi chamra, that's drinking wine, bekanokit kasa biyodeh, and he's holding a cup in his hand, and he's bekomenamnin and dozing off. Sholi liyeh, investigate, ask concerning him.
And the next couple of lines, you can see we've underlined the word E. All kinds of possibilities. You question, and then you'll see the conclusion you can reach. If the person that you notice at that hour of the day is that's nodding off with a cup of wine in his hand, if he happens to be a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, and he's dozing off, Agdumi Kadim Ligirsei. The reason for that is that he got up early, got up while it was still night, to study Torah. And by 9:30 in the morning, well, he's been studying and researching his Torah studies for quite a few hours already. And that's why he's nodding off. He's tired. E poel hu, if the man that you are noticing happens to be a worker, a daytime worker, kadim kavir avidite, then assume that he started work before sunrise. Well, he started work while it was still night, and by now he's tired, and that's why he's nodding off. Vi avidite belayla, redudi rodid, and if the person happens to be a night worker, the night worker, after all, if you're working at night, you got to work in a quiet fashion. So what kind of work would one do at night that's quiet? Redude rodit. Rashi describes this as a person working with metal threads. It was a craft whereby you would fashion threads from precious materials like gold, and it didn't require any banging, any noise making, and hence it was something that would be done at night, and therefore he's an honest guy, and you don't leave him alone. The Elo, and if none of these, if the man that you see at that hour is who's drinking the wine and dozing off is not a Talmud Chacham, he is not a day worker, he's not a night worker, then Ganvahu v'tafse, he's a thief, and grab him. Ganvahu, he is now falling asleep because he was up at night trying to plunder travelers or dig into houses. Ishtama milsa bay malka, word got to the king's ears, literally the palace, Omru, and they said, Karaina de igrusa ihuleve parvanko, literally the reader of the letter. In this case, a reference to Reb Lozer Shimon, who was prescribing the method of catching thieves. If you're making these suggestions, so then you be ihu leve parvanka, you be the agent to carry it out. Asuha le Reb Lozer Reb Shimon v'katofis ganvi v'ozil. Well, they hired him. They summoned him. They drafted Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, and he functioned as a thief catcher. As the Gemara goes on, we will discover that Reb Elozer Reb Shimon's conduct came under great criticism. I think it might be important to preface that Reb Elozer Reb Shimon is functioning in a Jewish environment. In other words, there are not only idol worshippers in the area, but there are Jews as well. And amongst the people that he is capturing as thieves are Jews as well. On the side of the Gemara, we have a tat nose, a subtopic heading, which reads, Hakpodas Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, we'll call it the disturbed attitude Reb Shua ben Korcha has al Hanhogas Reb Lozer Shimon regarding Reb Lozer Shimon's conduct, behavior. And he refers to him as vinegar, the son of wine. the Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, we mentioned at the outset, was the son of the great Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So Reb Yehoshua ben Korcha, in criticizing Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, refers to him as vinegar, the son of wine. Obviously an insult that he directs toward Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Number two, Maisa Shemosa Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, Ahu Koyves, Sheher Livoisai, Lashil Toynois, Vitoluhu, Vitstayer Olov Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. We'll see a story within a, called Story Within a Story, where Reb Elazar Reb Shimon hands over a Koyves, a particular washman, who insulted Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, and what followed from the insult was Reb Elazar Reb Shimon delivering him to the hands of the authorities, and they actually ended up hanging him, and that led to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon having a sense of remorse. The Gemara now continues. Shalach lei Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha sends a message to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Chemetz ben Yayin, referring to him as a as vinegar, son of wine. Rashi explains, Rosha ben Tzadik, you're a wicked man, the son of a righteous man. Ad mosai ata moiser amoy shel elekenu lariga. Until when are you going to be handing over our people to their death? Shalach lei, kaitzim ani mechala min akerem. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon responds by saying, all I am doing is removing the thorns from the vineyard. Sholach lei. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha responds, that's not your job. Yavo bala kerem v'yachalas kaitzov. Let the owner of the vineyard, let the Almighty come and weed out and clear out the thorns from his vineyard. Rashi says, Yavo bala kerem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the owner of the vineyard is the Almighty. The Pasuk says, Ki kerem Hashem Tzvokhi Beis Yisrael, the nation of Israel is described as the vineyard of God. Hence the analogies. The Gemara continues, Yumachad, one day, Poga Be Ahu Koyves. It was a washman that met Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Karye, Reb Elazar, the Koyves, the Koyves is, we'll call a type of a menial worker, to be contrasted with, of course, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. The Koyves refers to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, Chemetz ben Yayin. It's one thing for Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha to use that expression. It's another thing for some menial worker to use that expression. Omar, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon calculated, Midechotzev kulehai, from the fact that this guy is as chutzpedik as he is, shma mino reshiyahu, he must be a wicked individual. The sometimes the eyes are described as the windows to the soul. On an equal basis, you can say one's mouth is a window to the soul as well. And one who is so chutzpedik, to refer to the greatest of our people in an insulting way, as I said, that's in contrast to Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, who was a rabbi on an equal footing, an equal level of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, and maybe greater. But for a koyves to refer to him in such an insulting fashion, that revealed to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon who he's dealing with. Omar Lahu. So he told his subordinates, Tafsuhu, grab him. Tafsu, they grabbed him and delivered him to the government. Lebosu denoch daite, ozal basre, lefruke, velomotsi. After Reb Elazar Reb Shimon felt more at ease, he quieted down, he regained his composure, so he went to release him. Lefruke is to literally redeem him, release him from the authorities, from the jail. But Velomotsi was unsuccessful. Kari Ole, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon then referred to this Kleves, Shemer Piv, Lashenai, Shemer Mitzoras Nafsho, one who guards his mouth and tongue from problematic speech, is guarding himself from troubles. Zokfuhu, they hung him. Come to say Zekifa v'Kabachi, Reb Elazar ben Shimon stood under the hung individual, stood under the gallows, if you will, or where they hang up people. Rashi says Tachas Oitz, literally under the tree, under the wood, where this fellow was suspended. And the Kabachi, and he cried. Amrulei, those around him said, Rebbe, Al Yera Beinecha, it shouldn't be a source of sadness or remorse to you what happened. Shu Uvno Balu Nara Murasa Beyoi Makipurim. This guy and his son had intimacy with a married woman on Yom Kippur. The Rashi adds, Al Nara Murasa, Shehi Beskil, that sin is punishable by court execution through stoning. The Cholhan is Skolin Nitlin, and we also know in Torah law that those who are stoned, their bodies are actually suspended on wooden posts for a few minutes before sundown and then taken away. But we emphasize the word Nitlin, so that even though the story here does not involve actual Jewish court procedure, nevertheless, that which was due to him happened anyway through, of course, divine providence. The Gemara continues. Hiniach yodo abnei meov. Reb Elazar ben Shimon then placed his hand on his belly and declared, Omar Sisu b'nei me'ai Sisu, rejoice, O innards. Umas feikos shelochem kach, mind you, matters that are doubtful, and yet the result is a result of certainty, or a result of, the result is what was due. Even though there was an element of doubt, when Reb Elazar ben Shimon handed him over to the authorities, little did he know at that time that this man, this was actually a wicked man that was deserving of his actual fate. Vadoyes shelochem alachas kamo v'kamo. Those matters that I am certain of, all of the, like we had above, Reb Elazar ben Shimon investigating, researching, and then coming to a conclusion with a feeling of certainty, all the more so, my conclusions are justified. Muftuch ani bochem shein rima v'teilea sheletes bochem. And he concludes by saying, I am certain that rima v'teilea, decomposition and worms that generally beset a corpse of one who dies, will not have an effect on him, on me, says Reb Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara continues with a marking that we, of course, put in. And on the side, the bow tie is featured, and we call this under our Mivneh heading. Also, it's noteworthy that the second bow tie will appear only on the Pei Dalet Amud Beis, quite a way off. Generally speaking, we advise those studying with Gemara markings to survey the page to see where the next marking or the successive markings that form a series will appear. In this case, if you don't have Pei Dalet Amud Beis available or in front of you, you're not going to notice where the second bow tie is. But it's there on the Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and on the side we've noted that we've highlighted the expression Vafilu Hochi, meaning and even so, Afalpi Shenichamoy Es Reb Elazar ben Shimon Al Hai Maisa. Even though Reb Elazar ben Shimon was, we'll say, consoled regarding this incident, Shel Tlias HaKeves, regarding the hanging of the koves, the washman, v'gam ro simoni nechoma, and he even saw signs of consolation. Afilu hachi lo nochadaito. Even so, his mind was not put to rest. Bahemshech, a Gemara tesaper al. As the Gemara continues, the Gemara will tell us, number one, nituach gufani shebikesh kedei livchon tzidkusoi. We'll see that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon subjects himself to a type of surgical procedure designed to put his mind at rest, or designed to verify his own righteousness. And number two, and this is what we'll see on the Pei Dalet Amud Beis, where the next bow tie appears, where he, after all is said and done, is still not at ease, and therefore accepts Yisurin, accepts upon himself pain and suffering in order to make sure he attains true atonement, if there's any chance that he may have done something wrong. The Gemara, ve'afilu hachi. Even so, even though he saw this man, he received testimony that this man deserved the punishment that he in fact received. Va'afilu hachi lo meisva daite. The meisva, like in Hebrew, miyashev. What we call Yishuv Daita, Yishuv Hadas. He didn't have a feeling of let's say, we call peace of mind. So what did he do? Ashkiu Sama Deshinsa. He drank a Sama, is a medicine, a potion, Deshinsa, that causes sleep. We would refer to this as anesthetics, anesthesia, putting him to sleep, readying himself for a surgical procedure. Vailu lebeisa deshisha, and they then brought him, they wheeled him into a marble room. We would call this an operating room. Beis HaDeshisha, we see in other Gemaras, is a reference to a room in which the walls are very thick and there's no wind blowing there, a place of cleanliness where there are no bacteria or other forms of danger for someone who is now being operated on. So they brought him into the base of the shisha, we'll call it the operating room. The koroi lekrese, and literally they tore open his belly, they cut him open. Havu mafku mine dikule dikuli detarba. We'll see later in the Gemara that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rashi points this out, he was exceptionally obese. The term that you hear nowadays as this recording is being made, he was morbidly obese. Rashi says, Dikule de Tarba. Dikule are baskets. Dikule Malayan Shuman. Baskets full of fat. Lefi Shebal Boser Hoya Ma'od. Baal Boser is an expression you see in other places, in Masechas Brochas, you see Rabbi Yochanan, and as described as someone who was very fat. And here he says he was a Baal Bosoyim, oh, very fat, and they were able to then remove from him basketfuls of fat. Umoisvi b'shimsha b'tamuzvav, they took these baskets of fat and put them in the heat of day during the Tammuz and Av months. Those are the two summer months. V'lo masrichi, and they didn't go bad. Masrachi sirachon is something that becomes that starts to develop a very foul odor as a result of rotting. So his fats didn't rot. Gemara asks, what's the big deal? Kol tarbanami lo sariach. Fat doesn't rot. When we speak about rotting meat or rotting flesh, that's because there is flesh mixed in with the fat. Then you will have fat that rots, but it's only because of the flesh. But fat in and of itself doesn't rot. So what does this prove? Proves nothing. The Gemara says, Kol tarba lo sariach, shuraiki sumaki masriach. It's true that fat in and of itself doesn't rot, but if you have, we'll say, veins or capillaries in the fats, well, those will rot. That falls under the category of basura, under the category of flesh. In his case, though, hacha, with regard to that which was removed from Elazar ben Shimon, the fats had within them these capillaries. Afalgav deiko shuraiki sumaki, even though there were shuraiki sumaki, literally red colors, red strings, we can say the capillaries, lo masriach, it did not rot in the heat of these summer months. This is a reflection on that which he said earlier, that he was sure that in his death, here he's not dead, but this is a sign that his body, as a result of his righteousness, will not be subjected to standard decomposition. Chorei anafshe, he referred to himself, the pasuk, af b'sari yishkoin levetach, my flesh as well will dwell in security. You'll notice a bracketed section that appears, and the brackets with a note on the side, the starred note says Sograyim Shemistaimim Sof Mem Dal Pei Dalid Omed Aleph. These brackets are very long. They will continue till the end of Daf Pei Dalid Omed Aleph, till the bottom of the next Omed of Gemara. L'shem Dilug. They are designed essentially for skipping Ad Rosh Pei Dalid Omed Beis, or skip over till Daf Pei Dalid Omed Beis. D'shom Yesh Hem Sheichoi Shel HaMaisis Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And there you will see a continuation of this story. So if you have Pei Dalid Omed Beis available, notice it says at the top line, V'afilu Hachi, even with this, even with the surgical procedure, and we'll call the fat test, Lo Samach Reb Elazar ben Shimon Adaita, he still was not at ease. And as a result, Kabul Alei Yisur, just to make sure that he would experience expiation from any sin, he accepted upon himself suffering, pains. And the Gemara will go on to explain that in great detail. Being that we're in the context of a Daf Yomi structure, so we will just continue a few more lines, at which point then we will conclude the shiur. But having said what we did, you get a much clearer sense of the general structure of the upcoming Gemara. So in the meantime, just a few more lines of Gemara. V'af Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. We're continuing at the bottom line of Pei Gimel Omid Beis, where the brackets begin. V'af Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. Also, with regard to this great rabbinic figure, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, Mata, means they're arrived at him, or they're reached him. We continue at the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Ki Hai Maisa Liyodei. Where a similar incident applied, reached him. What do we mean by that? Where the king appointed him to be a thief catcher. Poga be Elio. Elio, the famous prophet, met up with him. Omar Le, we say a prophet, he also appears as an angelic figure, always disguised as a mere mortal. Elio met up with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Omar Le, Ad Mosa Ato Moisa Amo Shel Elikenu Lariga. Until when are you going to be handing over the nation of God to be executed? Omar Le, My Avin Harman of the Malkahu. What can I do? I've been appointed by the king. Omar Le, so Elio says, if that's your problem, in other words, if that's what is compelling you, that it's a government appointment and you can't get out of it. So Amar Le Avuch, a reference, say your father. It's a reference to Rabbi Yossi. Arak le Asya at Arok le Lukya. When your father was confronted with what's called government pressure, he escaped. He escaped to a place beyond this government's authority, and that he went to Asya. You go to a place called Lutkia. The Gemara, as we indicated, continues. We're in the middle of a general discussion, but for our purposes, this is a convenient pausing point. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.